With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Years. Friday night, 9:30 p.m. The Warriors have just beaten the New Orleans Pelicans without Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson. They're 7-1. I have Aaron Larson with me, and I feel very confident in saying one thing. The Warriors are a good basketball team.
Absolutely. They are playing good. And I think the reason, you know, it's the cliche, the strength in numbers stuff, but it feels kind of legitimate, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, so we can get into the minutiae of, like, do they have enough creators? How's this going to look against a locked-in team in, like, the conference finals and all that stuff? It's November 5th. We can, you know, we have all year to worry about that stuff. I think what I'm most encouraged about is this team has a very strong identity. And they look poised to get off to a they are 7-1. They look poised to continue to rack up wins and put themselves in a good position going into the home stretch of this season, which is different than last year. Last year was turmoil pretty much for two-thirds of the season until they finally figured it out. So just off the bat, could not be asking for much more.
Yeah, I think the thing to be most encouraged about, and it kind of ties in with the strength and number stuff, I think the thing to be most encouraged about if you're a Warriors fan is that the Warriors, so far at least, have been able to beat people in a bunch of different ways. And that hasn't been the case, you know, the last couple, 2 years ago, they didn't beat anybody in any case. But last year, it was kind of, if Steph ain't doing
shout
it.
Shout out Omar Spellman. Yeah.
Right. If Steph ain't doing it, like, it's not happening. And I mean, that is still in the arsenal for the Warriors, but even in just different types of games, obviously there's a bunch of guys now, shooters, maybe not as much creation as you'd like, but a bunch of shooters to help Steph out. But it looks like Steve, when he looks down at the bench, it's just a bunch of guys that can play and a bunch of guys that can do different things. So whatever a specific game requires, it looks like there are just options upon options to fit into whatever that game requires, which doesn't happen a lot in the NBA.
Yeah, so you bring up Steph, and I think actually that's the most encouraging point. He was 5-for-15 tonight, 19 points, played a shade under 30 minutes. The game was over after three. This is on the backs of the Hornets game, where he also didn't shoot the ball well. Now, in the Hornets game, he looked as sick as the report suggested. But the point stands. A year ago, I could not see this team winning back-to-back games comfortably with Steph Curry more or less being a decoy and being kind of just comfortably kind of like a B-minus C-plus level, given what he's capable of overall. This year, they got players up and down the squad that can absolutely take advantage of just the attention Steph gets, and they don't need Steph to go for 35 a night to win games. They're probably going to need that against the best teams, but like against 25 teams in the NBA, they don't need that.
And the thing about it is, like, even the best teams in the NBA, they have the best players, but it's not a lot of teams. There are some teams with some decent depth, but, you know, again, like, there are just options for whatever, right? The Warriors can win in a rock fight. They can also shoot 53s like tonight and just, you know, obliterate you. They can turn your water off. So, like, the ability to kind of play any style, I think, is what is, again, most encouraging so far. And, like, I will put it out there. I think, as of right now, the Warriors are the best team in the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, it's like them, it's the Heat, and it's the Utah Jazz who are playing what feels like, and maybe throw the Bulls in there, at a level above everyone else at this stage of the season. For me, we haven't even got to this so far, but it's like, it's not just tonight, but it's the whole season. The defense, more than anything, looks like the 2015 or 2016 Warriors. Draymond looks completely revitalized. Now, Draymond was excellent on defense last year, particularly down the stretch. And he's always been able to turn it up on that end when he wants to. But he looks locked in a way I haven't seen since basically Kevin Durant's first year. And maybe that's health. Maybe that's motivation, wanting to prove something. But that guy who's like the force of nature, best defender of a generation, he's back. He looks like he's in his mid-20s, minus the salt and pepper grays. And
you see him. He was channeling his GP2, punching that one down the lane, yeah, in the first half.
Exactly.
You know what I think it is with Dre? And look, he still can't make a jump shot. But with Dre, I think defensive player of the year matters to him. But he says, he said, right, like, I don't care. I'm not playing for the play-in game. I don't care. Dre is one of those guys that needs stakes. And
right,
I think he sees something in this Warriors team that is making him push from the beginning of the season. He also, you know, has tended to use the beginning of the season to get in shape, and hasn't been generally. But this year, I think playing for the Olympic team, you know, and actually hooping during the offseason, I think that forced him to kind of maintain a better offseason weight than he normally does.
Not starting the season with COVID, which like
also helps. Yeah.
In retrospect, I mean, like, it was noticeable the second half of the season last year versus the first half when he had a little extra burst in him. And considering we knew he had COVID to start the season, like, I think it's fair to say that might've been a bigger factor than maybe we gave credit for at the early part of last year.
And actually the biggest thing, I forgot to mention this earlier, but I think the biggest thing that is really encouraging is the Warriors have, Looney's been terrible, but the Warriors, either because of that, by design, the fact that Wiseman is not ready yet, the Warriors have played pretty small. We're a terrible rebounding team last year. And the thought was that the Achilles heel was going to be, yes, the 15-5 finish to last year. Do you have something there? But if you're going to play small, are the Warriors going to get beat up on the glass? And at least entering tonight, the Warriors were the number one defensive rebounding team in the NBA. I thought Valanciunas gave them some problems. So, you know, maybe if there's one thing that is, if there's a little bit of concern, maybe the size could be a problem. And not even so much with the rebounding and the scoring, you know, getting Looney, theoretically getting Wiseman, getting Draymond in foul trouble is like the only thing that I would see from tonight where it's, it wasn't great. But all year, the Warriors have been excellent on the backboard. So there's a lot to like.
You know, credit to the coaching staff on this one, because it's like, no one is better at turning players into fives than the Warriors, apparently. Like, Otto Porter, look, I think his days of playing small forward are gone, but he's been pretty damn productive for this team, and he was productive tonight as a front court player. He's just smart enough to know where to be so that his declining athleticism isn't exposed, and maybe he'll get exposed against, you know, the cream of the crop, like, you know, against a Giannis or someone. You're not playing Giannis, you know, 28 out of 30 games or 29 out of 30 games, right? So it's one of those things, but like, he's now rebounding the ball like a big man, and he's stretching the floor and providing something for this team. He can throw Bielitz in there also. I think adding shooting to the front court, it was something I wanted them to do last year, and I wasn't really sure if they added it this offseason. Like, I know Bielitz and Otto can shoot, but like, can they defend and do well enough to like be on the court to matter? And so far through 8 games, and they've had a relatively easy schedule, but the answer has been yes so far. So it's hard to not see that as a positive.
Yeah. And the question, I said this on your show a lot, and especially last year, is that I thought to maximize the Warriors, they needed to maximize Steph offensively. And they did. They traded some theoretical better defensive players for more shooting and more offensive players this year. Right. But the defense has been, well, the defense is number one in the NBA right now. And I think the answer to, like, can Porter guard, Bridges torched him the other night, but can Porter guard, can Bielitsa guard? They're not great defensive players, but when you're surrounded with Draymond and Iggy and GP2, you know, like, you can get by if you're big and, you know, have decent hands and whatever, you can get by. The problem is if you have, like, too many guys that are a complete liability on defense, then you run into problems. But with lineups that have some defenders on the floor, you can get away with guys that aren't great. And especially, you know, unless you're getting targeted in the pick and roll over and over and over, you know, as a big guy, you can kind of get away with, you know, I'm going to be in the right place at the right time, even if I can't move anymore. It's like, shout out Looney.
Yeah. And it's like, and maybe this is a thing we need to talk about when we get to, like, the more serious part of the season and when it gets real matchup based, but, like, overall, the Warriors do have a lot of athleticism and length on the wings that they can get away with. You know, like, Otto just has to understand where to be. Bielitsa has to understand where to be and be active. Like, they're not going to be overly exposed. Which reminds me now, how the hell does Andre Iguodala look this athletic at this stage of his career?
You know what? You think there's some kind of witch's brew, something happening? What are we saying here?
I don't know, man. The Steve Kerr's just whatever the culture juice is going on.
The culture juice. I mean, look, he's always been a dude that's been in really, really great shape. He's been he's not out of shape, guy. Yeah, I mean, even for the NBA, he's and he knows how to play. He does really look great. It's always the hands are still there, the IQ is still there. And look, it's early in the year. He hasn't played a lot yet. So, you know, let's check back in 20, 30 games. But because of what I talked about earlier, that strength in numbers nonsense and the fact that there really are, the Warriors do have, you know, a bunch of guys that can play. There aren't just like empty roster spots that the Warriors have had in the past, that there is time. And especially shout out GP2.
RIP Smiley.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Well, maybe Chris Chio. Well, he's on a two-way. So, but like there is, because you don't have to necessarily have this great fall off. If you're going to rest guys, you know, the Warriors should be able to find games where Iggy isn't needed, where you can take it. He has once already, especially because of GP2, right? You can come in and kind of do some similar stuff defensively.
And Juan Toscano-Anderson. Like Juan's, I mean, he's not Draymond or Iguodala because guys of that caliber aren't just floating around the G League in general. But he can do a decent facsimile impression of both those guys. And I definitely, like, if Iguodala couldn't play tonight, like, let's just say they wanted to give him a rest tonight, I would have felt very comfortable with Juan filling in, like, three-quarters of his minutes and the Warriors being in a good position to win. And that's the type of thing they probably haven't been able to do the last few years. Even if you go back to KD's last year, like, they didn't have, like, oh, any of the main five or six guys are out, well, it's going to be a long night for whoever's filling in for them.
Yeah, I just like, I want to have some like, look, I don't think Juan has looked great to start the year.
He's had a slow start, but like he is a competent throw him in against particularly like, what do we think of this Pelicans team? This isn't even a playoff team.
You know? So far they're the worst team in the NBA by a wide margin so far.
Particularly without Zion and Ingram. So it's like, you know, it's not the greatest competition in the world, but like, yeah, like the Warriors would have probably struggled without a player of like, if a player like Iguodala hit the bench the last couple of years. And currently I think they can probably withstand him sitting against, let's just say, non-playoff teams.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, for years, for even including those KD teams, like when Steph went to the bench, it was a problem. And now the Warriors can win games when Steph goes to the bench. They can win the minutes when Steph goes to the bench. Even like in the opener, it beat the Lakers, right? It was Poole without Steph to start the fourth that really brought the Warriors where they needed to be. Steph hasn't played all that great for the last two games. And they've been able to. And that, like, even with KD, there was always a problem. And with Steph not on the floor, it's generally better. The offense specifically is even doing better than just being able to like hold serve and stay afloat without Steph. It's like, right. It's incredibly encouraging. I mean, just, you know, I'd like to have some hot takes for you, but the Warriors are just like the best team in the NBA right now. They just like plainly are. And if Draymond could figure out an 8-second violation, they'd be undefeated.
It is kind of funny because on the one hand, I'm like, oh, Memphis kind of poked a hole in the Warriors, like, you know, which is going to happen because no one goes 82-0 and like every team's got some hole. And on the other hand, I'm sitting here, I was like, did they really, or did the Warriors just throw that game away? So it's kind of funny. It's a great start to the season. I want to get your opinion on GP2 before we open this to callers, because you mentioned him and I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about him, you know, kind of star of the show against Charlotte and put on quite a show against the Pelicans tonight. How much are you buying GP2?
Completely. And I have previously, I think we spend too much time with guys trying to figure out what they can't do. Right. And he can't shoot. That is the number one skill that is required in the NBA. And he can't.
Right.
But what I don't think Steve has done a great job of in the past, and what he seems to be doing a very good job of presently, is finding ways to highlight what guys can do. And he has very specific NBA skills. And the Warriors staff and he deserve a lot of credit for taking advantage of the things that he can do. He is an elite on-ball defender. He also fills the need. He's basically a 4, maybe even a 5 sometimes offensively. He guards 1 through 3.
I mean, he was playing the dunker spot down the stretch there.
Right.
And you know what? I wasn't mad at it because every time he was catching a lob, I jumped out of my seat. So
I think he deserves obviously a lot of credit. But the other thing, the reason why I say that he's a 4, maybe even a 5 offensively, is because the one thing that the Warriors, for all that they have done very well offensively this year, don't have somebody that really puts pressure on the rim. Steph right. does a little bit. Poole does a little bit. Wiggins once every 10 games will. But GP2 is one of those guys that puts pressure offensively on the rim, whether that's catching lobs, whether that's being in the dunker spot, kind of running baseline and trying to go up and dunk on somebody. So he feels a need, especially until Wiseman is back. He feels a need that the Warriors have offensively as a guy that can put pressure on the rim.
And I want to tie into your point. This is why getting guys like Otto Porter and Bielitsa is so important for the Warriors, because having legitimate big men who can stretch the floor to the three-point line and get guarded doing it allows you to play a guard who can't shoot the ball. It's in some level that simple. Like, would GP2 be able to do this stuff if the Warriors' big man rotation was Looney, Zaza, and, you know, 37-year-old Bogut? it'd be tough. It'd be tough. I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a lot easier.
You need those David West 18 footers.
Yeah, exactly.
So we get that. But it's like, it does help that they added a couple front court players who are credible outside threats that allows you to play a player. Like GP2 is very clearly an NBA talent, but it's like the way the league trends, it's hard to play guards who can't shoot the ball.
So having someone in the front court who can shoot the ball allows him to get a little more run out there.
Yeah, I mean, yes is the answer to that. You are correct. I think it's a good point. And there for a team last year that was always looking for spacing and didn't have any.
Right.
Basically, I keep talking about this, but there are options all over the place for at least credible offensive threats. Around set, whether it's Poole or Bielitsa or Otto Porter Jr., Wiggins, like, is he a great three-point shooter? No, but he's shooting 39%, and you're not going to ignore him. D-Lee has shot the ball well. Juan Toscano-Anderson is whatever. But there is always, you're never going to have to play lineups where you just have, like, it's Steph and nobody else, right? Where there's no shooting
right,
around. Right. And obviously that gets even better when Klay comes back. And how it was cool to on the broadcast here, he's playing 3-on-3. So I think you're right, right? You can't, like, you know, last year, if you're playing Kelly Oubre and Draymond and GP2, right, then you're kind of like,
and Looney.
Right. And Looney, you're like,
and Wiseman.
I don't know. But yeah. Because of the versatility that this team has, you know, you can go to lineups that have as much shooting as, you know, required, at least to maintain a modicum of normal NBA.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, let's get to the callers. If you want to call in, request to speak.
And by the way, I'm calling it now. Wiseman should start for Looney. I mean, if you want to give him a couple games once he's back to come off the bench, but Wiseman needs to replace.
Yeah, well, you know, Looney's not had the greatest start this season. But anyway, Maxwell, what's up, man?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Wonderful. What you got for?
So you guys have been talking about the center rotation. How much of a difference are you going to see in that rotation once Wiseman gets healthy and fully, like, gets incorporated with the offense?
Great question, Maxwell. So I actually posed this one on Twitter earlier today, Aaron. And so right now, I'm going to put it to you this way. Right now, the Warriors are playing Looney, Bielitsa, and Otto essentially 48 minutes. So that's your center spot. And then you got Draymond playing about 32, 33 minutes. And then you got about 15 to 16 minutes of whether you want to call Wiggins or Juan or Iguodala the power forward. That's basically their front court rotation right now. So what do you see happening when Wiseman comes in?
I think they give him some time to see where he is physically, see if any of the work that he's done, you know, development wise, skill wise, helps. And look, like he was decent offensively. He was an abject disaster defensively. But that's what happens with 19-year-old big guys. And there's usually a jump year one to year two. There's always a jump, not always, but then year two to year three. Also, you can look at DeAndre Ayton if you want. I mean, he was just right, as bad, if not worse, than Wiseman defensively his rookie year. So I think you have to see where Wiseman is, but it's not like he's, you know, replacing Wilt Chamberlain. When I say he should start, it's not like he's replacing Wilt Chamberlain. Looney's been awful. And
first off, Otto Porter looks a lot like Will Chamberlain.
He does. Yeah, he does. He does. It's kind of weird that there's been, the Warriors been putting out graphics about that, right? With like, look with him in the background, which is weird. But it, like, he provides something that the Warriors need badly. Athleticism, size. I mean, they've gotten away with it so far, but athleticism, size, rim pressure that I talked about earlier. So I think that Wiseman will start, maybe not right off the bat, and you play him, you know, whatever, 20, 22 minutes, and see what kind of development has been made. Again, I'm also a Wiseman true believer. I think he's going to be really good at some point. So my comments are clouded I think he is a better basketball player than Kevon Looney right now.
I generally agree with you. I think it's going to take probably a dozen games. But with that said, he's going to be starting at some point this season. And I think what happens with the big man rotation is instead of Bielitsa and Looney being locks to get minutes every night, they're going to end up in a matchup basis. Looney's had a terrible start to the season, but there are matchups where Looney is a useful player. There's also matchups where he's not. And when you have Wiseman back, in theory, physically settled and kind of into a role, plus you have your small ball lineups, Looney can go to a role that makes much more sense for him, which is kind of being a situational piece. Maybe he plays one night, maybe he doesn't, but it's not a big deal because, you know, he's not a high maintenance guy in general. And that's kind of his skill set. His skill set's like being a, I don't want to say a limited big, but kind of like a matchup big, right? Like he doesn't need to play every game. It's like the same thing that like Taj Gibson or Udonis Haslem have done over the years where you're like, okay, they're, you know, there's a lot of matchups where I don't see what value you bring to the team, but like, I want you on the roster because I know there's times where I can really use.
I agree with that. I'm picking on Looney because he's been awful, but there are some matchups where his just kind of like calm positional defending helps, but like, the Warriors are,
but it's really, not every game.
no, it's not. And he provides nothing on offense. His hands are just as bad as Wiseman's were last year. And it will open up so much for Steph and Draymond using Wiseman as a pick and roll partner, just because he can go up and crush lobs, you know, like Capella, who's not a great offensive player, like Capella and Trae Young, right? Like Capella has basically no skill at all. But you put him in pick and roll with Trae Young, he's going to throw it, you know, it's 2-3 lobs a night. And so I think that, is Looney a better defensive player than Wiseman right now? Probably. But Wiseman's size, athleticism, shot blocking ability makes up some of that ground. And I think what you're going to get offensively matters a lot more than the small diminishment maybe in Wiseman's defense.
Ryan, what's up, man?
Hey, nothing much. Just spent my Friday night watching the Warriors beat the shit out of the Pelicans. And what I'm reminded of right now... 4v5. What I'm reminded of right now is that 2014 team. And just the way I see it in Draymond's eyes, it looks like he's remembering that 2014 team and that feeling of building something new, because the dynasty definitely took its toll on the players and feels like a fresh start for them. I'm just excited to see where this goes, man. I ideally would like to get one more league average wing on the roster. But other than that, I'm liking what I see. And with Klay coming back, this is a very exciting roster, especially with how wide open the NBA looks this year, with Harden being fat, Atlanta looking lost, the Lakers looking like a geriatric squad. It goes on and on.
Ryan, appreciate you. I had something to say and I lost my train of thought right there. Oh, I was going to ask you this. So do you think that Klay will resolve some of the Warriors' shot creation issues?
No. Although, I mean, there's the little videos. He's been working on the handle, it looks like, a little bit.
He's been working on the handle since day one. Like, that's, and by the way, you and I both know, like, Klay, Clay's got a better handle than anyone you've ever played with in pickup, but whatever.
I don't know that that's true, actually. But I think what Clay does, it's not even resolved because it hasn't been bad so far. But I think one thing that Clay does is all the pressure that Steph causes defenses and causes them to break to get, you know, layups and dunks for other guys. The Warriors led the NBA in dunks last year. I think that Clay's movement without the ball and the fact that, you know, Clay is the second best shooter ever in the history of planet Earth, I think it builds on that strength and gets, I mean, you can call it shot creation, you know, gets shots at the rim for other guys because he just builds on that strength that the Warriors have now with, you know, Steph running all over the place and four guys getting confused.
I'm gonna have to interrupt you, but Andre Iguodala with the quote on their 7-1 start. We okay. A work in progress. We've had a favorable schedule, so you shouldn't look too much into it. I appreciate the immigrant dad logic from Iguodala, who absolutely is not willing to let anyone on this team get ahead of themselves. Because he's right. Like, all right, they beat the Lakers on opening night in L.A. That was an impressive win. Although the Lakers...
It hasn't been great so far. The Clippers win is a decent win. It's decent.
Sure. Sure, and they've taken care of business where they've had to, but it's, you know, it's like they can only play who's in front of them, but it's not like they're playing, you know, Milwaukee and Miami every other name.
So. Sure, but I guess the response to that, and it was the last guy kind of hit it on the head that popped up as a caller, like the Warriors' schedule hasn't been great, but like the NBA hasn't been great, right? There's a lot of parity, it seems like who's really played well? Charlotte's a pretty good win. The Lakers are above 500 and had LeBron available. That's on the road. That's a good win. The Clippers are okay, but like
LeBron, by the way, went 6-for-11 from three, something.
Right.
Anytime you beat a LeBron team when he's feeling with his jumper, it's a good thing. So,
right. So like it feels like, and especially this is a huge homestand for the Warriors, 8-game homestand. So it feels like the Warriors' schedule has been kind of soft, but maybe that's because they're, like all these teams that we thought were going to be pretty good just aren't that good, right? Like there hasn't been, Utah's been good, Chicago's been good, Miami's been good, right? But maybe the schedule is just kind of what it is because this looks like a pretty, there's a lot of parity in the NBA. So maybe that means,
yeah, maybe,
right? It hasn't been like all Houston and OKC and Orlando, like the teams that we just know are awful. It's just kind of like, this is kind of what the NBA is.
Although there has been some OKC and there will be some Houston this weekend. So, yes, at least they won those games, unlike the Lakers.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
We'll keep moving.
OKC does, in fact, have two wins on the year.
Ricky Garcia, my man, what's up?
Oh, nothing much. So I was kind of perusing through StatMuse for the last few minutes. And right now, the Warriors have the best defense in the NBA and the best by any team in the last 18 years. And at the same time, StatMuse also says that Steph Curry has the best defensive rating among guards right now. So do you think Steph is a candidate for an all NBA defense team this year.
Ricky, I love the call. So there's two things going on. One, will Steph get the respect to make an all defensive team, Aaron?
No.
No, I don't think so either. I think you could actually make the case he deserves it.
I mean, so far he does. Think he's
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm just brought to the fact that like Russell Westbrook's been given all defensive votes way too many times in a row, and he's never really deserved it. So, you know, if we're gonna give the superstar who kind of tries to play defense some votes, give it to Steph.
Steph has always been an underrated defender, right? He's seen as a liability on defense. That's his reputation, and it isn't true. He's average, maybe a little better than average. But no, he's not gonna.
I think he's actually trending up on defense. I actually think he's getting more athletic and
stronger. So it's harder to pick on him.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't think Steph is going to make an all defensive team, although he may lead the Warriors in block shots when this is all done after tonight. And I would say, yes, the Warriors have the best defense so far. And I think the Warriors are going to be somewhere between a good and very good defensive team. The best defense in, you know, since whatever stuff is kind of a red herring because offensive numbers this year are down.
Yeah, so I want to ask you about that. Actually, you're pivoting it perfectly. So how much are you reading into the low offensive numbers as like a trend of the league changing? And like broader speaking, just look, the refs are officiating fouls differently this year. They're actually calling it like an actual basketball game as opposed to whatever the hell we watched the last few years.
But how much are you actually buying this as kind of like the direction of the league versus, you know, it's the first week of November.
Yeah. So I think it's more the latter. We see often when something in the off season becomes a point of emphasis with the officials that it is officiated very heavily early and then it drops off a little bit. I think we have seen the end of grifter ball, as you guys like to call it. But
I hope so.
I think it is going to come back a little bit. And all of these offensive players that have suffered, whether it's, you know, Trey and Dame and Harden, Fat Harden that you mentioned earlier, all of those guys are so good. I think there is it is going to cost them.
Oh, you don't think Trae Young's going to shoot 21% from three for the rest of the year?
I do not. And I think the other part of it, though, in addition to the like elimination of grifter ball, I think those guys will adjust. But the other part of it is that the freedom of movement stuff is not being called as much either. So guys are getting away with a lot more hand checking, a lot more grabbing. And I think that probably is going to even out some. I expect the offensive numbers to rise because these really talented offensive players are going to get more used to how it is now. Right. But also I think that in some of the grifter stuff will get loosened up and allowed. And I think guys are going to be allowed to move more freely than they have been so far this year. So I expect offensive numbers to rise as the season goes on. But you know, it has the anti-grifter stuff has taken a bite out of some of the offenses because that was the most efficient offense in the NBA is, you know, these really good free throw shooters getting to the line on bullshit.
Just
so
bump, pop your neck back.
Did you see James? He wasn't, I don't remember who it was. He couldn't beat him off the bounce and then lost the ball backcourt and just didn't.
Yes. Harden is nothing if not a dude who, you know, if he's going to quit on a play, he's going to quit 100% and let the highlight go.
But for a lot of these guys, like Harden and there's so much muscle memory and years and years and years of perfecting this thing that worked, whether you like it or not, it worked. And there's so much muscle memory in it that when the bullets start flying and when you get stressed, you revert back to, you know, what is comfortable for you, what you know how to do. So I think it is going to take some time for guys to deprogram themselves away from it. Steph has been doing it too. Like, you know, flicking his leg out and trying to get fouls on threes that used to get called and they're not anymore.
And that's kind of how I just assumed it was going. It's like, you know, it's funny
to make fun of, but like, I'm not concerned about Damian Lillard, Bradley Beal, Trae Young's ability to score the ball. Like, they're going to be fine.
I'm starting to get concerned about Dame. He was awful again today.
Yeah, but...
he's so good. I'm starting to...
Unless he lost a step, like, you don't go from averaging 30 to, like, struggling to get to 18. I think... he loves to use his burst to get to the free throw line. And like, he was deceptively one of the bigger grifters in the NBA. Like, people don't think of him that way, right? But like, he knows how to get to the line. But I don't know, he's going to come around. Like, he's shooting 20% from three. That's not a free throw line thing. That's just a cold streak for whatever reason.
Yeah, he doesn't. I mean, I think part of it with Dame is, to me at least, he doesn't look quite right physically, which is a whole nother conversation. Sure. But I think it's something to pay attention to. Like, Beal was bad, has kind of bounced back. Dame's looks not great still, but Dame, something feels a little off.
All right, Jake, what's up, man?
Yeah, I just wanted to say first off that it's so great to see a bench that has chemistry again after the last couple of years. The ball is moving when Steph and Draymond aren't on the floor, and that's really great to see. The other thing I wanted to ask about is, you know, the one name we haven't mentioned in the last 2 weeks, which has been so great, is Ben Simmons. There's no reason to trade the farm for him at this point with this kind of start, but I did want to ask because it's come up a couple of times. Is there somebody else out there that you guys would be willing to, would be the right improvement for this offense, might be on a crappy team that is looking to move something at the trade deadline? What else might be out there?
Jake, that's a great question. So the only other name we know who's been actively shopped is Pascal Siakam. So I want to get Aaron's opinion on this. Ben Simmons or Pascal Siakam? If you're the Warriors, let's just say, all right.
And you're saying that the cost is the same for each?
Yes. Let's say, yeah, it's the end of 2021 right now. Ben Simmons is currently doing whatever the hell he's doing with Philly, which every day makes me a little more uncomfortable. And then, you know, Siakam's coming off a shoulder surgery, which is worrisome for different reasons, but still very much basketball worrisome. Where are you at?
Neither at this point. But if forced to pick between the two,
when you say neither, you mean in context of what the price would be to get them, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
if the price is lowered, are you more excited?
I mean, yes, but that's all relative. If I'm sure, forced to pick between, right? If, like, you know, you want Damian Lee, right? You want, Damian Lee's been, I don't know, their fourth or fifth best player probably. Between the two, Simmons.
Yeah, Loki, he's not a throw-in.
Yeah, between the two, Simmons, I think, just because no matter what happens with all of the shooting stuff, Ben Simmons has one of the most elite skills in the league. I think that would fit incredibly well with Steph and with Clay.
Ability to attract a Kardashian?
I mean, that is an elite skill. although maybe not so much if you're in the NBA, it may not be so difficult. He can get in the paint and find three-point shooters. If you take all of the rest of it away, the why didn't you dunk on Trey, and all of the stuff worried about jumpers, all of that. Through all of that, he can get in the paint and find three-point shooters. I think for the last couple years, I think he's led the league in assisted three-pointers or assisting on three-pointers. And I think that just tracks incredibly well with Steph and Clay.
Let's back this up because, like, you're correct here. You don't seem particularly interested in either of those players.
Correct.
And
the Siakam shoulder
It does. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, it's cool. I love the idea of Siakam, but like, if you can't use a shoulder, it's a problem for basketball. Is it fair to say, given the way the Warriors are playing right now, that you are not willing to part with any of the young players unless it's more of a sure thing than what those players represent, which is like, one, it's a ugly contract divorce. The other, it's we don't know if he can use half of his shoulders, basically. So,
yeah, I'm not, I am more willing to part with the young guys. I mean, obviously,
sure.
You know, I keep saying I believe in Wiseman probably more than anyone, but I'm willing to part with Wiseman if I think it improves the Warriors' championship odds even by a few percent this year. I think that's something
sure.
that you should probably do. So it's not even about the hesitancy about losing the young guys. I think you owe it to Steph and Clay and Draymond to try to take a real run at it. I just, because of the landscape of the NBA in total and because of how good the Warriors have been so far without those young guys, like,
well, that's
I don't know. I just think you don't mess with it right now.
I think, yeah, that I think my overarching question to you as trying to get an outside perspective on this is, the Warriors are playing excellent basketball. It looks sustainable, you know, maybe not 7-1 all year because that's like 70 win record, but like, you know, like they look like they're going to be a very good team and nothing they're doing is unsustainable. Does that make you less interested in making a trade or a little more protective over what we would consider future long-term assets? Because they look like they're going to walk into 50 plus wins at this
stage. Right. Yeah. I think it's less about protecting the future and more about, at this point, I think you just don't want to mess with it. I legitimately, if you ask me right now, who's the best team in the NBA, I think it's the Warriors.
Okay.
And so I'm not, and the other part about it is, if you watch the game tonight, as I'm sure everyone in here did, they look like they are having a lot of fun. And enjoying each other, and the combinations are working. And so I think that's kind of another thing that you don't necessarily want to mess with when it's going well, unless like you get hit with such an overwhelming offer that you kind of like, you can't say no. It's for me, it's not even about protecting the future, protecting the young guys. It's kind of just about like whatever this strange brew is that's going on right now. I don't think you mess with it unless you're so certain that you can't turn something.
You got to be overwhelmed. You get, like, someone's got to come to you with, like, you want Giannis? Like, okay, yes, I'll take Giannis type of deal is what you're getting at. Okay. I think that's fair. And I actually think that's a fair question to ask because the Warriors at 7-1 are officially a good team trending in the right direction. And we've spent the last, like, few months discussing do they have enough and should they make a move? So I think this is all a fair question. I'm going to get to the last caller of the night, JJ. What's up, man? JJ, if you're on mute. Oh, what's up, man?
Hey, nothing much. I think there's a quote out there that perfectly explains why Dame is struggling. And I'm quoting Dame here. He's not getting those quality looks right now. It's different from the last few years. So, yeah, I'm glad y'all got that. But on a serious note, I really don't like that Andre is playing so many minutes. Like, I really am enjoying watching Andre play. But I really think that if we're going to go for anyone in middle of the season or by the trade deadline, we should definitely focus on a wing distributor or just a distributor in general, someone that can run the offense.
JJ, I appreciate it. I agree with you. And then, okay, so two different things. One, at some point, Iguodala is going to start getting load managed a little more than he is right now. Like
he already is. He was a healthy scratch already once.
Yeah, I mean, we got to be fair with this. They haven't played a back to back. They've been at home. The only road trips they've taken have been to LA. So it's not like, you know, they've had a very favorable early start to the season. We all know when the NBA season starts moving, like, you know, you might see Andre miss a game because they're on the road a little more.
But to his point, okay, wing creator. I think everyone in the NBA is always looking for another wing creator.
With that said, Aaron, if you could add any specific thing to this team, what would it be?
A guy that you can play on the wing in the playoffs, even if he's not great, just a guy that could play on the wing that you don't have to say, right? Like, you don't have to hold your nose either offensively or defensively on the wing. A guy that can hold up in the playoffs, even if he's just kind of an average wing, decent guy. A guy like a, you know, Warriors target the last couple of years, like a Nick Batum, where you can say, all right, this guy can guard a little bit. He can create a little bit. You know, he can shoot a little bit. Just somebody that's not going to get on the wing, that's not going to get played off the floor because he can only play offense or defense in the playoffs.
I like it. For me, it's a shot creator who could play next to Steph Curry, and I don't care about anything else. And that's not easy to find. And everyone's looking for a shot creator with size. But I would love this team to have one more player who can create off the bounce in some capacity. And the obvious one would be as a wing, but I'm not going to be that selfish because it's hard to find.
How interesting is it that like the Warriors basically don't play anybody? Well, I guess Bielitsa and Porter, but they're not really thought of as centers necessarily, even though they both kind of are. The Warriors start nobody, you know, bigger than 6'9", and we haven't seen anything from Wiseman yet, and nobody's answer is they got to get another big. That's kind of, that I think is indicative of where the league is and is going.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I just, give me another 6'5" guy who can create a shot, basically, is where I'm at. Yeah. With that said, I appreciate everyone who rolled in tonight. Warriors are in a good spot right now. Go figure. Things go well with the Warriors. These green rooms sound a lot more positive. Appreciate you, Aaron.
Shocking. Yeah, my pleasure, brother.
Have a good one, guys. Appreciate you all. We'll be back after Sunday's game against the Rockets.